more on the season and more on the coming games because, of course, as happens, it seems every week, not only some injuries, but it just feels like there's been a litany of injuries to prominent players this year. There really have been. And for more, let's get to NovaCare Rehabilitation Injury Report as we are joined today by Dr. Arjun Ramprasad, who joins us, and he is a primary care sports medicine doc at Jefferson Health Orthopedics in Center City and in Langhorne. Doc, good morning, sir.
Hey, good morning, guys. How are you?
We're better with an Eagles victory. We love it. Now, we wish they weren't so banged up. Probably nothing too serious yesterday, but Darius Slay, of course, has left now three games in a row, and he often comes back in. First two were with a knee, yesterday a groin. Do you get a sense when you see Darius Slay move around what could be going on out there with him?
And is it possible the groin's connected to the knee?
Yeah, that's a good point. It certainly can be. You kind of have the whole leg really working in sequence. So when he's trying to run, cut, pivot, plant, so he may be favoring that knee kind of not on purpose just because it's bothering him and feels good as he gets treatment through the week. You get to the game, you warm up, okay, I'm ready to go. But then you get caught during the play. Maybe he tweaks it as he goes. It starts to aggravate, and then there's some compensation that's automatic, and then he might end up where there's a play where he ends up with a strain in the groin too. So maybe helpful for him to get some time off, but it's not as big an injury where he's unable to play, unable to sprint and cover. He's the starting, you know, veteran quarterback on the team too, and he's a captain, so you know he wants to be out there. But John would know about playing is everybody's going to have nicks and be banged up during the season if you're going to play in the NFL.
So what the heck were we looking at with Lane Johnson? It looked like he got rolled up on in the second quarter and he was on the ground. He crawled off to the sideline. I was so worried. But then he was back on the field the next series. It might have been the next play even. How did he manage that, and what was the injury? Do we have to look at that moving forward?
Hopefully not. When he got hit, the first thing I thought was, oh, man, I'm really worried that something bad happened because he was just flopping like crazy. And,
yeah,
and the
sure.
one replay showed that he got rolled up on the back of his ankle. So I'm not sure if it was a calf or just the ankle got caught and turned. But when that happens immediately, I mean, there's an immediate pain response. Your body is telling you, hey, something happened and this is an issue. And at first, it can be really painful. The strange thing could be that what's great in this case is as soon as he got kind of up and off the field and that first shock faded, okay, I can put weight on my foot. I can get off the field. And then kind of the body's endorphins can kick in and help numb and kind of just you don't feel the pain after the shock. Sometimes it's as bad a stretch you get blown up and you can't get back out there, but his really was just a momentary tweak, which is great because you see that play sometimes and it ends up where people get, you know, an Achilles blown out or sure. they get a bad ankle tear, even a lower leg fracture. That was what happened last week. One of the other players, well, not in the Eagles game, but there was somebody else who had a compound injury, is that for the season? So,
Godwin, yeah.
Yeah, Chris Godwin, that's right, the Tampa game. So thankfully.
Well, I mean, Aiden Hutchinson also. Tibia mm-hmm. and fibula.
Brutal, yeah.
Yeah, and Hutchinson's was really, really bad. And nothing, nobody even touched him. It's just he caught it in the wrong angle.
Yeah.
Yep. Dr. Ramprasad with us right now. Of course, NovaCare Rehabilitation Injury Report. Doc, do you have any sense, I know you're not treating Joel Embiid, but from afar, what in, like, the world could be going on with him? I mean, they had said prior to the season, all right, he'll miss three games. They didn't say he'll play game four. They just said he'll miss three games. So what do you think's going on with him?
We might need more than a couple minutes for that conversation.
That's right.
It's. I actually have been, when we talked about it a couple years ago, his knee is kind of just a constant issue at this point. He's had two meniscal surgeries. There's been multiple meniscal tears, so he already is kind of compromised in the shock absorber there. It's hard to say exactly because he did play in the Olympics, and he didn't look great for parts of it, but the last couple games he looked like he was moving pretty well. So So I'm not sure how it affected his progression in the offseason, but I'm sure their plan is, hey, how can we figure out how he's going to be ready to go in April and May? But it's not really forthcoming of, is he really recovering from an injury? He's just not physically ready, or they're saying, hey, you know what? We're just going to try not to overload his knee. And I think the precedent they're probably using is what Toronto did with Kawhi Leonard a few years ago.
Sure.
Which worked well for them, unfortunately well enough that they beat us in the second round. But at the same time, it's hard to see. None of us have seen him even practice, let alone play. So is it swollen? Is it aggravated? Or are they just really kind of slowly bringing him along? You know, they talked about back-to-backs and stuff like that. So it's hard for me to say. I don't know when he's going to come back, but I guess there was kind of two things. One is you play him and you hope that you get lucky through the season like last year, but then he gets an injury and it ended up really, you know, compromising him for the year, or you're just going to try to hold him as carefully as you can, avoid back-to-backs if he gets a tweak set out for a while, so he hopefully by March could play at full speed.
Absolutely.
And less likely to get hurt because he isn't getting worn down from all those extra minutes.
Yep, Dr. Arjun Ramprasad with us here. Well, Doc, we appreciate your perspective and expert analysis here today. Of course, for everyone listening, make sure for more information on Dr. Ramprasad, you get yourself to ortho@jeffersonhealth.com. That's ortho@jeffersonhealth.com, the NovaCare Rehabilitation Injury Report. Thanks, Doc.
Thanks a lot, guys. Have a good one.
You too, Doc. Good stuff, man. I like that he's a Philly sports fan.
We've had him on about Embiid for years. That's why he was laughing about it. And I've seen him at Sixers games. Now he's a huge fan.
Love it. 215-592-9494. All right, your reaction to what we saw from the Eagles yesterday. It was a tremendous victory. It really was. Bat of the Bone Award is up ahead. Merrill Montage, how it sounded here on WIP. Ray Diddy at 7:55, plus audio postgame. Hurts, Sirianni, and more. Your phone calls as well. The best victory of the year, and the best victory, really, in a long time by the Birds. That was a great one. Just a tremendous victory by the Eagles. And one that really, frankly, stunned me with how outstanding Jalen was. And look, people know I've been very critical. I think rightfully so. You may disagree with that. But he delivered yesterday in a big-time way. Now, he wasn't the only parts because obviously the defense was great. And Jalen gets, you know, a lot of help from very, very skilled position players. But man, oh man, Jalen was efficient, effective, controlled the game, controlled the tempo, made passes when he needed to, made runs when he needed to. I mean, the ability on the quarterback sneak thing is unbelievable. I still think the NFL, can be honest with you, should get rid of it because I think it's bad for the league to have such an unaesthetically appealing play.
Unaesthetically.
Unaesthetically. But like the Eagles, I mean, they just use it and lean on it.
I was not sure he got in on that one.
I wasn't either.
I don't know how they think they don't know.
Well, they have to know to overturn it, and that was an overturn. So they must have seen something from some angle. But I felt like as a viewer, we never quite got exactly a convincing thing, but they probably saw something. Yeah. But look, I mean, once he got that touchdown and kind of like started building it up, it just became a runaway freight train. I mean, it was a really impressive win. By the way, let's listen to Jalen Hurts. We're going to get to the Bat of the Bone Award in a moment. But I want to play Hurts in an interview form because after the game, we'll play press conference audio. But he was also interviewed right after the game by CBS. And which I found weird that was a CBS game. I don't know what that was about. Normally, when it's
because it's the Bengals.
No, but normally,
normally it's the away team.
Yeah, the home team.
Remember, it got flexed out, right?
It did get flexed out, so probably is part of it.
Because they would have been on Fox.
Yeah. John, normally when it's at the link, that would be a CBS game, and a game out in Cincy would be a Fox game. That's why that was weird that it flipped around. But anyway, yeah, maybe it did have to do with the flex. Maybe the game that replaced it came from the AFC side.
But it was the Bears-Washington, so who knows?
I don't know. That's weird. All right, let's listen to Jalen. He's interviewed after the game. This is about a minute long, but I thought was more interesting than most stuff when he's normally at the podium. You got the emotion. Game had just ended. Here's Jalen Hurts.
You pretty much blew out a really good team. What led to the production and efficiency offensively?
I think the number one goal that's been on our mind to achieve is just to find our rhythm. And I think we haven't really had that all year, not to the level that we've wanted. But I think we put out a good showing today, and we're getting real close to where we want to be. Obviously, when you're efficient, You can score early. You know, we scored early. We take what we get with that. Just keep building. But I think it was a good showing for us as a team. Turned the ball over, had the turnover on downs as well, so that always helps.
We saw the stars really make an impact, whether it was Saquon, A.J., Devontae with a beautiful catch in the end zone there. How does that reflect the potential for this group?
We just want to be where our feet are, you know. I know, obviously we have a lot of talent, and the number one thing is optimizing that talent. And so sometimes that can be a hard thing to do when you have so many mouths to feed, but I think we're building and trying to find our stride and sit ourselves in identity for us.
Yeah, that identity word has been thrown around a lot. What do you feel like you added to that identity in this game?
I think we played team football today. I think we played complementary football. The way we played on defense, stopping a really good offense, great players on offense over there, and then how we came out versus a really good defense, a defensive coordinator, and played efficient football offensively on our side. So all of those things come into hand. We just want to continue to play clean football, be efficient, and put points on the board.
Look, this season's got a lot of life. It really does, in part because he showed you yesterday, he certainly showed me, that there is it, that is still in there for him, from him. It was a tremendous performance by him, and at a time when the defense also, really very similar to Jalen, has improved dramatically. I mean, you go back to what this defense was in the first, whatever it was, 2 or 3 weeks. I mean, it looked bad. And now it looks good, and maybe very good. It might be very good. Let's go to the phones. Let's go to Jeremy.
This might be the most complete Eagles team we've seen in a long time.
Well, it's 2 years. 2 years. Not that long.
Well, I guess that's a lot of games. In many games, we haven't seen a team that can stop the run. Remember, like that does seem like a forgotten art here. For whatever reason, we've gotten so far from that. Along with the, hey, we're all about stopping big plays now.
Right.
I thought that stopping the run kind of went out the window too. But somehow we're now doing a good job at stopping big plays. We're now starting to get some takeaways while also leading the NFL in big plays ourselves mm-hmm. on offense.
Yeah.
And also running the ball while under center 21 times yesterday,
yeah.
After being under center 13 times the week before, or whatever it was, it's gradually growing.
Sure
yesterday,
is.
We watched Jalen complete passes that were over the middle mm-hmm. of the field.
That's right.
I think everyone in Eagle fandom was paying attention to that. We saw it. We're standing up and pointing at the TV. I think things are kind of progressing, don't you?
Like, I do.
Everything's kind of coming together.
I do.
The way we hoped that it could, and this is almost like a best-case scenario, the way it looked against the Bengals.
Yesterday was a great performance. I mean, it was tremendous. There's no other way to put it. Let's talk to Jeremy in South Jersey. Jeremy, good morning.
Good morning. Yo, let's get to it real quick. Yo, Joe, I love how you started out the show welcoming people to come at you. It reminded me of a man who had a mob outside the door ready to kick that thing down, and you want to act like it was your option to open the door.
Dude, I'm a man of the people here. I'm here to serve.
Okay, well, listen up. You ain't the only one that's been down on Jalen.
Of course.
Hurts.
That's why not like many people have bat at the door down to beat me over the head today. They all agreed with me last week, but go ahead.
Dude, you've surpassed Chris Sims in an agenda to call out Jalen as if he's not even an NFL-caliber quarterback. You forget real quick, Joe, that in 2021, we didn't even think that Jalen could spin it. And then we've seen, did you see the throws yesterday?
Yeah, the throws have never, Jeremy, to be fair, the throws themselves have never, ever, ever been a concern or criticism that I've lobbed at him. It's been the decision-making primarily, which is different than the actual physical throw.
Joe, if you want to take a poll today, let's do this one. Should Joe DeCamera be able to say the name Jalen Hurts for a week? Because you don't deserve to say the man's name for a week. You stand on this picket line, this protest with the loudspeaker speaking against Jalen Hurts on 10/24, 6:50 a.m. last week. Rhea and James were talking about what we needed to do at a trade deadline. You said we needed to get another quarterback. I want you to eat it for the rest of the week, Joe. he deserves at least one.
Well, I didn't advocate trading for it. Well, something you said in there isn't accurate, because I did not advocate last week at any time to trade for a quarterback this season.
I didn't say you said to trade for a quarterback. You said we needed another quarterback. You didn't wait.
Gotcha. So you mean for a future year. I gotcha. Yeah. All right, well, listen, Jeremy, I'll take the hits, and I hope that you and what you believe is ultimately proven right for the long term, because while I am very pumped up with what I and we saw yesterday, I do know this: average quarterbacks do play great games at times. To be a great quarterback, you have to play very good football, great football, a lot of the time. We'll see if he can answer the bell again and again and again. Is that fair?
It's fair, but okay. You also said he wouldn't be a quarterback in 2027. That's another thing you said.
I said he wouldn't be a starting. Yeah, no, I do remember. Yeah, no. I'll tell you exactly what I said on Friday. On Friday, I said I don't think he'd be the Eagles starting quarterback in 2026. And on Friday, I said I don't think he'll be an NFL starting quarterback in 2027. Now, we'll see. We'll see what happens. You know, week one, 2027, where he is, what he is, and all that. But yesterday, he did show clearly that there is still greatness in there. And if he can harness that and do that more frequently, that will be a beautiful thing. And we'll make this whole operation run so much smoother. Because, you know, with the skill position players, you're supposed to be able to compete for a championship right now.
And the turnovers. You look at what Dak turns the ball over all the time now. They've got a 3-4 record. Jalen hasn't turned it over in three games.
Three in a row. That's right. All right, let's do as we do. After a win, it's game balls. It's the Bad of the Bone Award. Frickin' Richie. He always gets the easiest one because he always gets to go first. All right, John, take Jalen Hurts. And then I'll be the bad guy. So we're going to
He's
camera.
Earned Hurts.
See, camera,
today,
you didn't pick Hurts.
Kellen Moore.
Oh! You don't go Jalen?
Kellen Moore took advantage of Jalen Hurts and his skill set.
Wait, who are you picking? Moore,
it's Jalen. Okay. Kellen Moore did a good job of taking advantage of an incredible skill set. Jalen Hurts' skill set. It's complete. And we saw that yesterday and we heard stories. We've been hearing stories now since the bye that, Jalen worked so incredibly hard at correcting the way he'd been giving the ball away. He got in the building, didn't go, you know, take a break or, you know, get away from the game, which is what every coach I've ever been around commands everyone on the team during the bye. Get away from it, guys. Get your head out of football. Jalen said, no, I'm going to stay here. I'm going to watch film. I'm going to figure this out. I'm going to work through this. He's focused and he's honed in harder since the bye. And he devoted himself and then redevoted himself to his team. And he looked fast yesterday. He looked so much physically faster.
He did.
And, you know, like, the computer was faster in his head also.
I agree.
It was physical dominance when he's juking guys. And then also that RAM and the REM, like I don't even know what the proper computer terminology is. Yeah. But
I don't think it's REM. He's not sleeping out there.
The way he was, the processing speed, the processing speed was ramped up yesterday, which is exactly what we've been hoping for and waiting for. And everything just looked crisper and more confident. And we should celebrate the fact that he's finally playing his best football, which is what we were hoping was in there. I wasn't sure at times that we'd see it again. And I was holding out hope. And here it is, guys. This is going to be awesome when he learns to play like this on a regular basis. And I do think the work that he's going to put in will lead us to that point.
So, it's James, before your game ball, I just want to point out, and this goes for the whole week when John comes at me, because I'm going to receive a lot of, you know, mm-hmm, arrows this week. John just said he wasn't sure if we'd ever see it again.
You're going to call it out. That's
good. Yeah. So just know when people come after me.
You need to point that?
Even Richie. Cut that audio. All right. It's game balls. It's the Bad of the Bone Award. I have a prediction, but I wrote it down. I won't state it because I want to see where you two go. James, who's your game ball going to? Matter of fact, I'm going to show John who I think the next three names will be. James, who do you got?
Okay, so I think you go in a lot of directions. Hurts is the clear number one. Nice job by John. I'll go with someone who last week wasn't even involved in the game. One catch, negative 2 yards. Wow. Comes back, didn't hear a word from him. What a week, that touchdown catch. Yep. I think the best throwing catch of the season on both ends. I mean, his ability to go up and get the ball at that size is amazing.
No question.
Devontae Smith deserves it.
I love it. That answer. My prediction is wrong, by the way. I'll tell you what it is in a moment.
I'm already, bang!
Rhea, what do you got?
I'm going to go with a grouping here. The offensive line. Down two starters. Jalen had a clean pocket most of the day, had plenty of time to throw.
Yep.
They did not allow a sack, just one quarterback hit. And they need to clean up some of those penalties, but I think the reason that Jalen had a career day is they protected really well.
They did a great job. So the prediction...
You know, he directs that protection.
Yeah, he does.
Jalen's calling the protection, yep, setting the protection, and, you know, communicating that protection.
But they got backups, John, that are really good. I mean,
absolutely,
Fred Johnson.
Incredible.
Totally neutralized Hendrickson, who had 4 sacks in the previous two games coming in.
Fred had a lot of help.
Yeah, and that play over to AJ across the middle.
But you also got to give...
Jalen helped Fred. Directing the protection helped Fred.
And as always, when you're talking backups like that, you got to give Howie and you got to give Stoutland
big time.
The prediction I had that I wrote down is I thought it was going to be for our four votes today, Hurts and three coaches. And none of the coaches got votes yet.
Yeah. Sorry.
So now I have to choose between Nick Sirianni, who I think deserves a lot of credit. A lot of credit.
He sure does.
Vic Fangio, who I'm certain deserves a lot of credit. And Kellen Moore, who I think deserves a lot of credit. I'm going to go with Vic Fangio. And the reason I'm going to go with Vic Fangio, and maybe I should have gone with Nick, but the reason I'm going to go with Vic Fangio is I think he's got less to work with defensively than the offense has.
Oh,
I mean,
certainly.
The offense has guys like Saquon and AJ and Devontae. Forget what Jalen is or isn't and what your perception of him is. We all are aware that AJ and Devontae and Saquon give a team an incredible advantage. And Vic Fangio doesn't have that defensively. He frankly doesn't have anything close to that. And yet they put a tremendous performance out there on the field. And it makes the performances against Cleveland and New Orleans and the Giants now look even better, because you can say now it's 4 times out of 7 that they've put a really good performance on the field. And also, you know, perhaps had an adjustment in game. I don't know. I'm not saying they did. I'm saying perhaps. I mean, the reality is Cincinnati moved down the field in 10 minutes, had 7 points, and in the next 50 minutes had 10 points.
That was a 17 that's amazing. Play drive by Cincinnati to open the game.
It was the longest opening drive of the season in the NFL.
Yeah.
I'm thinking, holy cow, okay, Vic, I understand you sit back and you like to play zone and let teams make mistakes. You know, that's the methodology.
Yep.
We can't do this all day. And he didn't. You know, he started sending the inside linebackers a little bit, started spicing it up a little bit. Joe Burrow got a lot less comfortable, and that's all she wrote.
It was big time. It really was. By the way, we'll also ask you the Twitter poll question of the day, which is brought to us by Armin Chevrolet. It's tailgate season at Armin Chevrolet. Check out Armin's incredible lineup of SUVs at arminchevy.com. That's arminchevy.com. Together, let's drive. We ask you this question: which unit, which side of the football was more impressive yesterday? Was it A, the offense, or B, the defense? You can vote at Sports Radio WIP on Twitter. Reminder that Ray Dittinger joins us in about 15 minutes. We love talking to Ray on a Monday morning, particularly after an Eagles win. All right, let's get a lot of calls in here. We'll get to some audio of more of Nick and Jalen of what they said postgame. By the way, Seltzer, Sirianni, let's rev up the contract extension talk. Everybody settle down. I haven't lost my mind. We'll see where it goes.
3-0, isn't he? All rebel, you know?
He shaved his head. I know. All right, let's go to the phones. Mark in Downingtown. Mark, what's going on, buddy?
Hey, good morning. Thanks for taking my call. I want to lead off with 2 apologies to James Seltzer. One was for my phone issue this morning, and the second is for my last comment. But I think it's kind of cool that we're not hearing a lot about Saquon Barkley, even though he had a stellar performance?
He had a quiet 100 yards, and that's a good
exactly
thing.
Isn't that amazing? Thinking.
Yeah.
Exactly. Yep. And I hope there are no more doubters about Devontae, I mean, because of his size. And I think Mike Quick actually mentioned it. You put a ball in his catch radius, and chances are he's going to catch it.
Well, he's a phenomenal player.
I trust him.
Yeah.
I can't imagine trusting someone more. Devontae, I don't know why. I feel like he's such a complete football player. And I watch him go out there and stock block defensive backs that outweigh him by, you know, like 35 pounds. And he gets after people. You know, and yesterday I watch him catch a ball on the sideline and put his shoulder down and run through that defender. And I'm thinking, he's 165 pounds. Like, how did that even happen? This guy is an awesome football player because he's super tough, first of all. Like, that's the biggest thing. He's so tough, and then he's an incredibly skilled player who puts all the time and effort into, like, the mechanics and the finer skills of the position of wide receiver, like the tiny details of route running.
Yeah.
He's an expert on all that stuff.
Well, you know what? But I got to tell you, Mark, there's an aspect of Devontae that is so important, given the position he plays and the team he's on with AJ. I can't emphasize this enough. He's not a pain in the ass.
Agree.
And what I mean by that is, you know how many phenomenal receivers would have been a pain in everybody's, whatever you want to, rump last week after one catch for negative 2 yards?
Yeah.
But he wasn't. And that is part of how you come back and you just win the next game. That's great.
Yeah.
Absolutely. And here's my my last apology, James. And I'll just say, I heard a caller this morning say that Jalen doesn't listen to the media. I disagree. I think he does. I think he forgot what greatness was, and he must have been listening last Friday, when he heard that phenomenal Beat the Hammer victory.
Mark, that's a shame.
Get Hammer!
Thank you, Mark. No. Oh.
Thank you. Now, I'll say
really,
this.
Really gross.
This isn't me saying it, but on behalf of those that are thinking this.
Mm. You should keep your mouth shut.
But I disagree. I say.
Yes! Oh, yes!
But what I really say yes to is that Eagles victory. Let's relive it. Let's listen to it. By the way, John, Wechter today? He's like on the ones and twos mixing in all. He told me all sorts of different music mixed into this one today.
Oh,
like and good. Some good songs apparently.
Nice.
Let's listen to how it sounded yesterday on WIP plus music, because James, I don't think there was any rock music like actually over Merrill talking.
I doubt it. Yeah,
maybe coming back from a commercial break.
Maybe the last of the Mohicans bed underneath.
Maybe
that's what I'm looking for.
All right, let's listen to a little music mixed in with a lot of Merrill and Mike. We're gonna need. After a tremendous victory yesterday, a Merrill montage.
We're gonna need a montage. Ooh, it takes a montage.
Merrill Reeves and Mike Quick at Paycor Stadium in downtown Cincinnati, what is known as the Jungle, as the 4-2 Eagles meet the 3-4 Bengals. In a series that began in 1971, the Eagles have never beat the Bengals here in Cincinnati. Burrow goes back, he pumps, he fires wide open down the far sideline. Eric All, the tight end, I don't know how open he could be. It is a first down, stretching for the ball was Mike Gesicki. He killed them as a Miami Dolphin, and he's killing them this afternoon. Back goes Burrow. He's looking, he's rolling, firing, caught, touchdown. Guess who? Chase. Hurts into a long count, he is calling. He is sneaking, he is pushed, and I think he's in. I think he's in. Good news, the Eagles broke the plane. It is a touchdown. Eagles will get the ball to begin the third quarter. This is the end of the first half with the score, 10-10. Hurts takes the snap, he's back, here comes the rush. He lets it go on the far side, easily completed on the far side to Devontae Smith. Across the 40, up to the 50, with a 21-yard pickup. Hurts gives it off to Barkley, and Barkley has the first down with 3 or 4 yards to spare.
I like
this. He is so tough to stop. On the first down, Hurts takes the snap. He's going to carry himself. He's going to run. He's going to score! Hurts! And the Eagles take the lead for the first time in this game. Shotgun. Hurts looks. He's pumping. He is going deep downfield, and it is caught.
Devontae Smith, touchdown, over the shoulder.
The ball,
spectacular.
Yeah, you get it to Devontae Smith anywhere in his vicinity, and this is what he does.
Fly, Eagles, fly into the end zone.
Hand off to Moss, and he won't go. He'll lose a yard, maybe 2 yards. They smack them in the backfield.
Look at Brandon Graham. Look at the energy that the old guy brings to this defense.
Burrow back. He tries to swing it out to Chase, and he's brought down for a loss by DeGene. Oh, DeGene went into the backfield, and the Eagles take over on down.
Oh, my. What a play by the rookie Cooper DeGene. Rodgers makes the play on the ball. He tips the ball. Chauncey Gardner-Johnson is the recipient of the tip ball for the interception. The Eagles have it going back the other
way. That is unbelievable. Hurts. Gives to Barkley. Takes off to the outside.
Barkley laying out some punishment. Tiptoeing down the sideline.
He goes out of bounds inside the two.
He was on a tightrope.
And he nearly took it all the way.
It goes to Gesicki, and he's the ball is loose.
Ball's
and the Eagles
again.
Recover.
Yeah.
The ball is loose and the Eagles recover. Now the rest of the fans can go home. 3-2-1. It's over. The final score. The Eagles 37. The Bengals 17.
Tremendous. You know, I love how Saquon, according to Wechter's, got his own theme music in there. So, James, what's the name of that song?
It's Move B, I believe. Get out the way.
I'm well aware.
Yes, Move B.
Move B. Listen, he is, man. Saquon, that run, John, he almost got in the end zone, obviously.
The tiptoe run.
I mean, his power.
Yeah, it's the combination of power,
mackerel.
Speed, agility, just
it's incredible.
Quickness, explosiveness. He can catch the ball. I love the fact that, you know, the swing stuff right out of the backfield. Let's see more of that. We still haven't seen enough, you know, screens for my taste.
Right.
That's the next level. But you have to. That's a lot of timing. You have to like how that times out,
sure.
Not just with the back, but with the linemen too.
Well, they're adding stuff in, and it was good to see Jalen under center as much as he was yesterday. And more than anything, and I mean this, more than how the defense played, the biggest headline yesterday is seeing Jalen Hurts play that great. That is such an important thing. Now, of course, the key, he's got to bottle it up and do it over and over and over again. He doesn't have to be that great every time, obviously, and he's not going to be that great every time. But it was great to see that it's in there. And he delivered, man. I mean, it was crisp decision-making. I thought his pocket presence was very clean. He was, as he typically is, good with his throws, great with his deep ball. I mean, he really does. We talked, you know, 35 years ago about what a great deep ball Randall had, and Randall had the best deep ball I've ever seen an Eagles QB have. But Jalen has a really nice deep ball. Carson did not. Carson's deep ball went straight up in the air for whatever reason. I don't know why. Like, Carson had a weird deep, but Jalen throws it with a lot of, it's just a lot of touch.
Touch, and it's accurate.
It's accurate.
Yeah.
It's a real, I mean, that
it just drops in
it
there,
does.
Man.
It does. That pass to Devontae was awesome. All right, let's go to the phones. 215-592-9494. Ray Dittinger in about 10 minutes. More of what Sirianni and Jalen said after the game. Mike right now. Mike, good morning.
Good morning, gang. Happy Monday.
Mike, our season has life. It's got juice. It's got energy.
It certainly does. Joe, before I get into the birds, you said before that you're a man of the people. Is that correct?
Yeah, I was being tongue-in-cheek, though. I'm really not.
Okay, good. Okay, I know you're not, but I need you to be a man of the people for a quick moment.
Sure.
I need you to stop rooting for the Yankees because I think you're the problem right now.
Listen, let me tell you something. You're being an Eagles fan and Yankees fan still confuses me. I don't think the World Series is over. These games have been very close, and it's been very entertaining, so we'll see what happens.
Judge is 150
awesome.
In the playoffs.
I think the main thing is I just think your organization needs to get back on steroids. Because, you know, in the last 30 years, when you take steroids, you win, and when you don't, you don't.
Well, I hope they don't give Stanton a random test any day soon.
No.
Now, the birds, listen. Yeah, look, we can go up and down all day long, you know, with the players, particularly Jalen. It was so refreshing to see him controlling the game rather than him kind of reacting to the game and figuring it out on the fly. He controlled the game.
He did.
The person I really want to give, like, the fan game ball to, someone we were crushing, and I mean crushing, Mr. Nick Sirianni, he had that team prepared yesterday. They came in, they were prepared, they were focused. They didn't, you know, other games, I feel like after that opening drive, we would have immediately kind of gone off script, started going pass happy, crazy plays. No, man, they just stayed very chill.
Yep.
Nope, this is what we're going to do. We're going to come right out. We're gonna run Saquon. We're going to stick to our game plan. I have not seen – that's all we've been wanting. We've been wanting to see our team prepared and not show up.
I agree. Mike, there's two things about Sirianni that I know from my vantage point, I think a lot of people would echo, had become major concerns. One, because I've always liked his basic messaging, I think, is rooted in good principles. I just want to – like, I don't think we should lose sight of that. But I wondered if the messaging was getting stale because you're hearing the same thing for four seasons. And the other thing was, just schematically, was he overmatched on offense? And look, maybe he was, and maybe he still is, and Kellen Moore just has his hand in it, and that changes the equation. But, you know, and then, of course, he had bad third and fourth down decisions, you know, this year. There's no question Sirianni was making mistakes on what to do and when to do it. But his basic messaging, Mike, and good call, has always been grounded in good principles, and one of them is you got to be able to bounce back, what he calls dog mentality. They did yesterday in a big way. They took a big, big, big shot from Cincinnati to start that game. It went on for a long time. It was a long drive. But the Eagles won the game and ultimately won the time of possession battle, which is incredible. Here's Sirianni after the game.
Just dog mentality. Games start off different ways every once in a while. And, you know, no one's in a panic mode when they go down and score. I think they had some good third down conversions. I think a lot of that is Joe Burrow's a hell of a football player, Jamar Chase was able to get a lot of plays there as well, and Gesicki, and so they got good players. We knew they were going to make plays. We talked about that last night. Good stuff's going to happen today, and some bad stuff's going to happen today, and how do you respond? And it's always going to be about your response.
That's a big-time win by the Eagles and a big-time response. That was a tough spot. And, John, part of how you ultimately win is you got to score a lot. Like, let's put it this way. 17-17, final 20 points of the game were all scored by the Eagles. It all happened in the last 18 minutes of the game. And I didn't even realize it until I saw the stats after the game. Eagles only had 8 possessions. They scored on 7 of them. 7 of the 8 possessions they scored.
Yeah.
4 touchdowns, 3 field goals, 1 punt. A tremendous performance by the offense.
Incredibly efficient.
It was.
By the offense, led by Jalen.
Led by Jalen, yeah.
It felt like he made the right decision.
I mean,
all those decisions that are contained within a play, you know, every play, he was making the right ones.
Yep.
And he was physically, you know, masterful in that game yesterday. The precision that he was operating with, not just like we're talking about dropping it in the bucket to Devontae in the back of the end zone, but the like knowing what play to get the offense into and setting the protection, redeclaring the mic, giving his, you know, substitute offensive lineman a better chance by, you know, bringing guys into, well, all allowing for guys to chip, you know, allowing for tight ends to help. Like, all of these ideas come from the coaches, but they have to be executed by the players on the field. And, you know, it changes the game. It changes the game for in our favor. And every week, it's a new puzzle.
Well,
the puzzle this week, they just dominated that thing. They decoded whatever the Rubik's Cube contest was. Like, they won. Like, number one, you got the gold medal hanging around your neck. But now we got to move on. We got Jacksonville. Who knows? They played Green Bay tight. We know Green Bay is a quality NFC opponent. It's right back at it.
So Ray Diddy with us in just a couple of minutes. We love talking to Ray. Also love hearing from Jalen after a win. And he was great yesterday. And it's a big deal also because they beat a great quarterback in that guy's home. Let's listen to Hurts after the game.
But is there any satisfaction? Joe Burrow's considered one of the best quarterbacks, always in that conversation. To go out there and outplay him as a quarterback?
That's the league. That's the league. I have standards for myself as well.
It's a boss answer right there. I have standards for myself as well. I love it. Let's go to Rick in Easton. Rick, what a day. Good morning, buddy.
You know, I'm not going to beat you up, my friend, because, you know, when you're a city, you suffer with seven rings in 67. I agree with you, Joe. You got to be cautiously optimistic still. With this schedule, I said to Seltzer on Go Birds, and we've talked about it before, with this schedule coupled with the NFC North beating each other up, Minnesota, Green Bay, and Detroit, it's very imperative this team gets a home game playoff, and if possible, throughout. Here's where I think you're coming from. We saw that we did this against a good offense. This D showed up against a good offense. We need to see this offense now show up against a good defense, because this window, we are in a two-year Super Bowl or bust mode since 2022, if you think about it. And since we're a very serious fandom, both teams are related to each other, coupled with the fact that we were in World Series or bust mode since 2022, thanks to the Diamondbacks and the Mets. So I know where you're coming from, and I totally agree. By the way, you get so excited. You said earlier in the show, I know you didn't mean this.
No, what I did.
Why don't we drop the pass against the Vikings because you're thinking of Cousins.
Cousins, I'm still doing that.
Against Atlanta. But you know where I'm coming from.
Well, yeah, look, you know, Rick, they impressed all of us yesterday. And for some of us, it was more of a surprise based on our level of doubt. But I will tell you this. Part of what made that victory so impressive was, I would say, 2 weeks ago was the most the town had ever come down on Nick Sirianni. And I would say last week was the most the town had ever come down on Jalen Hurts.
I think we came down on Sirianni pretty hard.
Very, very hard.
Also.
And that's why, and Rick, great phone call. And that's part of what makes it more impressive. Now, I will say, I'm not sure that Cincy has a great offense. The last caller referred to Cincy having a great offense. I think they have a horrible offensive line. And I think you can see that that's really affecting Burrow, because you can tell he feels like he's got to get the ball out quick.
And T. Higgins being out.
T. Higgins was out. And I won't say
this is a lot of games.
And they don't have a spectacular running game. So I'm not sure how great their offense is. Their quarterback, I do believe, is great, but hampered with some elements around him. But look, tremendous by the D, tremendous by the offense. And a great job by Nick Sirianni. I mean, I joked, and by Fangio, and by Kellen Moore. And most especially by Jalen. I mean, that's the guy that you pay $250 million to. That's why. That right there is what you want to see over 10 years. You're not going to get it every time, but you want to see that more often than not. And yesterday, he delivered in a big-time way.